ready for this? Howdy, folks, let's gather around for the best sports talk in town. We got our hosts, Darren, Tim, and Chris. Baby, can't get better than this. Give out all the power rankings. Laugh at all the teams tanking. A lot of fun, a lot of surprise. Let's give it up for the guys in this league.
Word to your mother, and welcome in to yet another episode of the This League Fantasy Football Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, it is episode 82, and it is the evening of September 26th, 2024. It is the first episode where Dawn is married. Huh? How about that? How about that? Congratulations to the man. Congratulations to Mr. Dawn McCraig. Yes, great wedding, great evening. It was quite the experience being around all of our league members during a football Sunday in a setting that isn't in front of a TV. I thought I had a lot of fun. We will get into that. But as always, I am your host, Chris Mitchum, the manager of Team Fair Life, with the usual crew virtual this week. Tim Rader, manager of Close But No Jamar.
How are we doing, people?
And Aaron Hunts, the proud manager of Let Russ Microwave.
That's right. Russ continuing to just pretty much dash my hopes and dreams.
Dude,
every
just drop
single
him.
Week.
Just drop it.
I actually most likely will have to.
Right now. Live on the pod.
My buys.
Do it. That's Justin Fields' team now. As I mentioned, it is Thursday evening. We are at halftime of the Cowboys and Giants. CeeDee Lamb popping off. Malik Nabers kind of doing his thing. Wandale Robinson out there. So we will keep you updated on that as we go through the show, which is pretty run-of-the-mill today. We have a week three review. We have an updater power rankings. Updated power rankings. We have a This League guarantee coming for you this week. And, of course, a week four preview. Drink of the week, fellas. Tim, I'll throw it over to you. What are we sipping on?
We're going with the double scoop protein shake tonight after a nice chest day.
Double scooping, double decker protein scooper right there. I like it. And Aaron, what are we sipping on?
I am sipping on some Spotted Cow.
Very delicious.
The great state of Wisconsin.
Tis very good. Do recommend highly. I'm the boring one. This week, I am drinking water. Go ahead. I'm boring. You can do it.
Get it out. Right. You can't talk shit to me ever again.
I do have some regular old water, so I'm sorry if I don't bring as much energy. I do. Thank you. Thank you for making that public. I appreciate you. Yeah, so before we get started, Dawn, like I said, congratulations. It was awesome being in that setting. Running around, you know, whenever somebody from the league came up to me smiling, I didn't know if it was because they had too much to drink or their favorite song came on or one of their players scored a touchdown. I don't know. But it was a good time indeed. Aaron, I saw you out there on the dance floor. You were getting down.
I absolutely was, man. Of course. The line dances, you know, played some bops for sure.
And Tim stayed till the end where the freaking the dance party started where we did Bye 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 by NSYNC. And
oh, you know me.
When did that start? Because I was there up until like 9:30 and the vibes were just a little different. It almost seemed like things were winding down. So Chloe and I were like, might as well, okay, I think we're going to head out.
Must have started around 10.
It was definitely the after party once the big robot man left.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
How late did you guys stay?
I closed up shop with David. I was there until 11:30. Ended up loading up the truck with a bunch of goodies and stuff to help carry out.
Nice. I must have drunkenly gotten to an Uber before that. So,
yeah, not too long before.
Okay. Nice. So, like I said, I thought it was the perfect time, perfect timing. You know, you can get home, you know, well rested before midnight. But felt like you had a great night. So congratulations to Dawn again. Before we get into the week three review, the quick question of the episode. What is your biggest surprise of the NFL season so far? It can be fantasy. It can be actual NFL, whatever. Aaron, we'll start with you. What has shocked you the most so far this year?
I'm just going to go with the New Orleans Saints
Fair.
as a team overall. I just did
Fair.
not expect a 2-1 start. I really thought 0-3, 1-2, maybe just, skating by, beating the Panthers, and then getting beat down by the Cowboys was next on the agenda. But they definitely have proven that to be incorrect, and they're a force to be reckoned with. I mean, they did lose, of course, to the Eagles this past week, but that game was close throughout. So don't count out the Saints this year. It sounds like they might make some noise.
Do you think that they pumpkined against the Cowboys and that's actually, or not the Cowboys, the Eagles, and that's actually what their offense is going to look like? Or do you think it's going to be closer to what we saw the first couple weeks?
I think it's right in between there. I think it went off with offensive explosions the first couple of weeks, and then I think, this past week they didn't live up to the potential, but 20 to 30 points a week for them doesn't feel far-fetched.
So you're telling me Alvin Kamara doesn't average three touchdowns a game?
He can average them all he wants as long as he
Shoot.
doesn't play me again.
Oh, shoot. No, that's all good. All right, I'll jump in here. My biggest surprise in the NFL this season, I think we are in a stage of the NFL now where the whole rookies, they'll come in, get eased in, and they'll have that second season upcharge, and they'll get ready. I think that's over, especially with these elite wide receiver prospects we're seeing. Marvin Harrison Jr., obviously the 101, obviously, or already the wide receiver 12. Malik Nabers coming into this week. I didn't even know this. The wide receiver 1 in fantasy football. Rome Odunze, I think he had his breakout game last week, and I would not be surprised if he continues to dominate. And then even Brock Bowers there at the 1-5. I was thinking about this earlier. Regarding rest of season tight ends, is there anybody you would want over Brock Bowers the rest of this year with how the tight end landscape has looked?
You could argue Trey McBride, but that's
I
like the
don't think
only
so.
one that I could even like think to argue. I mean, especially from a dynasty perspective, Bowers is that dude.
Yeah, I think he is.
I mean, that's crazy. If you would have said that, like, we knew he was going to be good, but like already the tight end won. So these rookies coming in, I guess I was still of the mindset that maybe they need a little bit of time, but they're here and they have, begun dominating, I think, a lot faster than I expected, a lot of what other people expected. And also, I think that really highlights the importance of these early draft picks, right? I think maybe not all first round picks are the same, are born the same. These elite guys that can come in and hit the ground running. I'm not saying, Ladd McConkey, A.D. Mitchell have no chance of, being successful in the NFL, but I think these early round guys, the importance of a Steven first round pick versus a Aaron first round pick. I think going forward we should probably be valuing those a little differently. So that's my biggest surprise of the year. Tim, we'll throw it over to you.
My Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, do you want some music? Do you need the music?
You play for like 3 seconds, but then we'll move on.
Go ahead, let it out. Let it out.
He might.
No.
That's
Oh,
all.
that's actually really sad. We might suck.
Andy Dalton gonna. Our season lies in the balance of Andy Dalton, Carolina Panthers.
Is that at home or in Carolina?
In Carolina.
Okay. If that was at home, I'd be like, oh no. Oh no.
I think it's in Carolina.
Okay. Still a little bit of a revenge narrative there. Aaron, how about those Colts?
Colt, go Colts. Dude, I guess a win's a win, but we won so ugly.
We
I
did.
mean, probably the ugliest that you can look and still win. And we almost did that too with the Packers, but I mean, do you think there's a game this year where Anthony Richardson completes 55% of his passes?
50.
Even 50, I'll take 50.
I mean,
I don't
he's
know, man.
just hot and cold, man. He just is so incredible on some plays, and then he just can't make the short ones, which I know is his MO, but it's frustrating.
How was Josh Downs this week? Was he fully back?
He was. I want to say he was second in targets behind Pittman, I think.
Okay. I thought that might help with the completion percentage, but I didn't watch the game, so I wasn't sure.
Any little helps. I do think if Anthony Richardson were accurate, A.D. Mitchell would be the man. The amount of times they've not connected when A.D. Mitchell's had a step or A.D. Mitchell just decided to drop the ball, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let us know your biggest surprise of the NFL season. This league underscore pod. I feel like there's been a lot of them. Sam Darnold's out there. The fact that the Panthers might be good now is kind of surprising as well. So there's a lot of out there. Let us know which one you think is the biggest shock. And we will now dive in to the week 3 review. What do you say, gentlemen?
Let's do it.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
Week 3, come and gone. Are we quarter of the way through yet, you math people?
Dude, I was thinking about that earlier.
Fourth of the way.
I hate that we don't have 16 games because it was so easy to do 4 games in a quarter.
Is it 18 weeks now or 17?
18 weeks, 17 games.
But how many games in the fantasy football regular season? That's still week 14, right?
Championship is week 17, 16 is semis, 15 is first round. So we up to week 14.
So we're in week 3. So what's that
three,
mean?
3, 6, 12. Not quite there. I guess in between. We'll cross over.
I ain't hating. During the week. All right, cool. I ain't hating.
And there's Matt.
A little under 20%.
3 guys.
All right, there we go.
No, over.
Thank you, guys. All right. But yeah, week 3, come and gone. I feel like the scoring went up a little bit this week. I think we're still historically below where we usually are when it comes to total points scored, both in the NFL and in fantasy football. But we move. It's a war out there. And that makes starting decisions even tougher, which should benefit those that love fantasy. So we will jump right in here to the week 3 review. Our first game was a battle in the Chipotle division between Hayden and Tua Infinity Bijan, coming to this one at 1-1, taking on Clayton and the Red Rocket, who was a big fan favorite last week.
He sure was. And for Clayton, another respectable effort put up this week on the point total front. I mean, it wasn't too long ago that we were begging Clayton to score over 100 points a week. And now it seems like he's able to pretty easily eclipse 100 points. So that is steps in the right direction for him. Devin Singletary actually turning into a little something.
Yeah.
Love to see that.
Devin Double Terry.
Yeah.
He's get it?
Barb.
Single. That one won't stick.
You know, you love to see that. I think he's a stalwart RB2 rest of season, probably on the lower end of RB2, you know, probably won't have the potential of RB1, but I think he's going to be very much a fixture in Clayton's lineup. The other RB slot, though, very much lacking, but to Clayton's defense, he just really has basically nobody else to play there. His running backs are a major need for him in coming up rookie drafts, which I'm sure he is very well aware of and will need to address. Brian Thomas this week really hurt him in the flex, and then the old faithful double-decker tight end stacker.
The old faithful.
Was not as fruitful this week, but fear not, Clayton. Brighter days ahead. Trey McBride got a concussion in the game, so likely out this coming week, and was a bit of a reason why that combo maybe wasn't as fruitful. Who was fruitful, though, was Joe Burrow. Gets a huge game here, 31 points.
Needed that.
Going off on offense against that porous Washington defense. But I think this all equates to just saying, once again, for the official record, Clayton, you are not a cakewalk anymore. You are very much a team that should be respected week in and week out, but you just were up against a superior opponent in Hayden. And transitioning over to his side, outside of Jalen Waddle, I mean, he had at least floor outputs from everybody.
Solid performance, yeah.
Solid performances everywhere, at least 10 points in each of those positions. And, you know, you mix that in with a big performance from Derrick Henry, over 30 points. That's really nice to see if you're Hayden. And the QB spot is fine. I mean, Pat Mahomes hasn't really been all that great for fantasy in recent years. I actually just noticed that not too long ago, of just, if you look at some of the stats that he's eclipsed over the past couple of years, it's just really not been as dominant as you might think they would be. And 20 points out of him this week was respectable. I mean, you like to see that if everybody else shows up, but that's something to monitor, because he has Pat Mahomes, he has Tua. You don't really have anybody else. So we'll see if maybe he makes a move there, but not a surprise here that Hayden won nonetheless. And Clayton, you stayed in it for a while, and that was probably your main goal, and you achieved that. So final score, Hayden 142, Clayton 110.
Yeah, I mean, pretty straightforward there. I know the boys were riding Clayton. I know we were. Hayden didn't let us forget it. It was a great ride. It was a fun ride, especially Joe Burrow there on Monday night. Didn't really have a chance, but it's good to see, like you said, Clayton kind of really escape that bye week status. He's somebody you don't want to ignore going forward. So Hayden will march on to 2-1, while Clayton and the Red Rocket will fall to 1-2. Your next matchup coming into this one, it was Tim in close but no Jamar taking on Breece Lightning coming into this one at 1-1. And you set the stage coming into this game. You had Tim on a high, second highest scorer in the league, feeling good, coming into a game against lowly Zach and Breece Lightning. Nobody chose him. We didn't choose him in our pickings. And then, wham! How about your first major, I would say, major upset of the year? And it was quite the game as well. This one came down to Monday night. You know, Zach had the likes of Keon Coleman and Brian Robinson taking on Tim and close but no Jamar. And I'll tell you what, Keon Coleman's touchdown on his only target of the game, lucky there, and an early touchdown from Brian Robinson really did have Tim with no chance of coming back, but that did overshadow a Jamar Chase breakout game, baby. Six catches, 118 yards, and two touchdowns. But like I said, those early touchdowns, both the Coleman and the Brian Robinson touchdown, came pretty early in those games. That kind of quashed, I think, any hope of a Tim comeback. If you are Tim, though, you aren't super upset with 120, I guess. I mean, Aaron Jones looks like the real deal. He's coming into this one as the running back 10 in fantasy football, but he's on the upsurge. He's obviously getting all of that work. Ty Chandler was virtually eliminated from that game because of Aaron Jones. Of course, you got prime time with his fourth touchdown in 3 weeks this week. He looks like the real deal as well. And Jamar Chase, like we already said, appears to be back to himself. Everywhere else, though, Sam Laporta, not great. CeeDee Lamb with a lackluster performance to his standards. Jordan Mason, and then Najee Harris. But hey, Najee Harris did what you wanted. And then Jalen Hurts with a disappointing performance as well. Let's just say I think one of us is really looking forward to the return of A.J. Brown. When will that be? Who knows? But when you look at Zach, the thing is, you know, I would say even if Tim did have A.J. Brown, though, I'm not sure he could have caught Zach, who put up the third highest point total of the week. We knew Breece Hall was going to be the man. We knew Marvin Harrison Jr. was going to be the man. But Deontay Johnson? What is this?
That's what it was, man.
14 targets. And then you got Rashee Rice with 14 targets as well. I have a little bit of cake on my face. I said that Rashee Rice didn't have that explosive upside because he's never gotten 12 targets in a game. Well, he got 14, so eat it, he told me. I mean, if he can get similar production from those guys and keep a solid floor with the likes of Brian Robinson and CJ Stroud, who, you know, won't kill you but also might not win you a week either, we could really have a shakeup in the top six going forward, I think, gentlemen. Just saying, Zach remains, I believe, still the fourth highest scorer in the league. And not really a ton of action on either of the people's benches. You could point at Roma Dunze on Tim's bench as maybe an option going forward. So the final score here was Tim 121 to Zach putting up 138, baby. What a performance by him. Zach marches on to 2-1 while Tim falls to 2-1. Anything to add here, gentlemen, before we move on?
I'm just going to say I think this is encouraging for Zach because you were looking at a game where you could fall to 1-2 and then the schedule just doesn't get much easier from that point for him. And so to get a win against what we believe is a top contender in the league, you were fortuitous in some respects with just some of the outputs that were to be had with CeeDee Lamb, especially just not living up to his standard, which he very much is right back to old CeeDee Lamb ways this week against the Giants.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Which we will get to soon. But I think if you're Zach, this is just, you know, signs that your team is going in the right direction. Both Clayton and Zach, I love the vibes of both of their teams right now.
The vibes are immaculate. Either
you have an eyeball emoji of the week?
I don't have one.
All right. Well, I'll shout out my eyeball emoji of the week. You know, pat myself on the back for hanging on to this cat. Roschon Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah. Najee Swift, your days are numbered.
Najee Swift does not look good this year. Roschon came in 10 points on the bench. Coach has already come out and said the role is going to expand, going to give him earn more opportunities. He's going to get an expanded look in Sunday's game. We've got schedule juicy coming up. So if he can take some steps forward, I wouldn't be mad.
I don't hate it. It might be Roschon Johnson season there in Chicago. Let's move on to our next game. It was a cross-divisional matchup this week. It was Aaron and formerly Let Russ Microwave. We'll get into that. Coming into this one at 1-1. Taking on Stretch. Taking on Walker, a hardly knower. And guys, I'll just start with this. It's been a second. It's been a second. Take it away, Tim.
Man, Gretch gonna do what Gretch gonna do.
Lose, loser.
Sometimes you're just gonna not even touch it 90 points on a week, you know? You got guys, sometimes you put up 180, sometimes you put up 80. Who knows, you know? Not spoiling anything, I don't think. This is not a close game when you're looking at the box scores. Stretch had one thing going for him this week, and that was Dallas Goedert. With no A.J. Brown, and once Devonta Smith got knocked TF out with the dirty play.
Dirty play.
Man, that was ugly to see. But, you know, outside of that, which propels Goddard to tight end one on the year.
Insane.
Reinforces the disdain everybody feels around the tight end position this year. Mike Evans, classic game. 2 catches, 17 yards. Got the Pat Surtain treatment, 3 points. And that's he's got to be Stretch's mascot for me because he's, you know, 3 points or 40. It doesn't matter. Like, either any week could be any above.
That's just very true.
Stretch and Mike Evans holding hands, skipping through the sunflower fields.
Mike Evans is Walker, I hardly know her.
Mike Evans is. And then James Conner, maybe the biggest disappointment for the week. Only 3 points, only 10 touches. He had been rolling to start of the year and just struggled in this one. Granted, the Lions defense is one of the best against the run, but only one target doesn't help in a PPR situation where he could. For Aaron, on the other hand, we had a couple of nice games, nice matchups here.
Nice one.
Saquon Barkley. Actively was trying to trade this man away in the offseason. Now is one of the main reasons that he's looking like he's still in the playoff race. Almost 34 points against New Orleans. They just couldn't do anything except give it to Saquon.
The number one overall player in fantasy football right now.
Would be Brandon Aubrey if we had kickers. Just saying that again. Scoring game. a couple minutes ago, he just drilled a 60-yarder that would have been good from like 66.
Gosh. So
Dak Prescott had a nice 33 points. Didn't have to didn't do too much. I think it was the early touchdowns in the game. Man, it's so weird not watching this live, having Don's wedding. I'm like, I can't recall everything
right.
that was
I know.
Going on.
We were nobody, like literally nobody
sitting in front. I didn't have 8 screens on.
And the thing is, like, I mean, nobody in the league did, which is crazy. Like, we may not necessarily be qualified.
As I stumble through trying to remember what happened, but I didn't watch it, so I don't know. I wasn't watching it. Man, but Amon-Ra, back-to-back nice weeks here, gets 21 points, as well as Stephon Diggs. I mean, I'm on record not being a Diggs fan, but, like, that's 2 out of 3 weeks of 20 points. Chris, what's your take on Stephon Diggs' situation right now?
I'm still not sold. If we were in a redraft and I had Tank Dell and somebody was like, I'll give you Stephon Diggs straight up for him, I still don't know if I would do it. I don't know. I still feel like he's more likely of a candidate to be phased out versus become more involved. Well, I think Tank might go the other way, but I would not. I understand those that would go the other way.
You got to be on the field. I mean, Tank Dell's in jeopardy in this game coming up. I mean, he's just a little guy. So
I'll say it, but if I'm doing any DFS lineups this week, Diggs is in there because Nico's got a hamstring and Dell's also, I think, projected to miss. So could be a vintage Stephon Diggs this coming week. Aaron, last thing I got to say is, man, are you lucky, lucky, lucky that you don't have to have nightmares about this Jawan Jennings.
Oh, Lord.
On the bench. 46.5 points, 11 catches, 75, and 3 touchdowns. You can rest easy knowing you won this one by almost 50. Final score in this blowout, 133
to 8.
Ah, thank you. Thank you.
50. I was looking to see if that Jawan Jennings. I keep calling him Jawan Johnson. Fun fact, Aaron, you kept mentioning how like Jawan Jennings kept like going off at the wedding, and I was like, I don't care about the Saints tight end. I really don't. Shut up. But then I realized it was another Jawan. I was curious to see if that was going to make it as a top 10 all time score for individual player in this league history. It did not. Unfortunately, to break that mold, you have to score at least 48.8 points.
Yeah, bum.
To break into the top 10. Anybody want to guess? Take a trip down memory lane. The year is 2020. The highest single point score in this league history by a player.
I know it well.
Is it Kamara?
Kamara's number 2.
It was Tyreek. Scored like 58 points.
He scored 57.9 points in our league, which is bananas. All right. Well, in that case, as you heard, Aaron takes home the dub against a woeful stretch performance. The only thing I will say, Mark Andrews.
Hey, what happened?
One target, dude. Didn't even play 50% of snaps. What's the panic meter there, Aaron?
Yeah, I think I'm at a 10.
I think you have to be. That's bad, dude.
I just am blindsided by this. I mean, I just thought coming into this season, I mean, Mark Andrews is not that old for a tight end. And I have his backup as well. And then I even have Kyle Pitts. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, I can just wait forever on Pitts to, you know, make sure I get something out of the trade I did a few years ago to get him. And vibes are not great. 33% snap share, 1 target, 4 routes ran.
Not good. I just wanted to throw that out there. A nice goose egg there in your starting tight end spot. We will move on to the next game, ladies and gentlemen. It was a big one because it was the first of 2024 win or go home. Ladies and gentlemen, your combatants in this one was Steven and Mount Passmore coming to this one at 0-2, taking on Don at 0-2. A winner go home game pretty much means if you lose this game, We think here that you are officially out of championship contention, out of playoff contention, just out of everything. Just go ahead and start prepping for next year. And I will say, props to both squads because they both played like it, because both of these teams each put up a season high in points. But we're talking about Steven and Don here, so keep that in mind. For Steven, perhaps, you know, virtually trading away Roma Dunze was worth it this week, as Jonathan Taylor finally joined the Elite Output Club with 26 points against the Bears. That lined up to be the running back 5 performance of the week. And Steven also partied with DK Metcalf, the Bills wide receiver number 1, Khalil Shakir, and Christian Kirk with surprisingly a bounce back games, all putting around 20 points for Steven. And remember that $80 fab drop on Carson Steele from the line, 17 carries, 72 yards, and a catch is not horrible. But that only amounts to 8 fantasy points, so maybe that's a good sign going forward that you know, the Chiefs trust him there. But I do see Kareem Hunt eerily coming around the corner.
He's lurking.
I fear. And really, besides a 21-point performance from Jacoby Myers on Steven's bench and a pumpkin performance from Derek Carr coming back down to earth with 142 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 pick, it was tough to get much better for Steven. He puts up a respectable 124 points, by far his season high. In a battle for their lives, Don countered with a vintage 25-point performance from Aaron Rodgers on Thursday Night Football. Chris Olave finally showing signs of being elite. Aaron, I will say you called that one. I did not. Was our line 20 points? I think it was last week.
I think so.
Yeah, you got it just barely. 20.6 points from Chris Olave. Good job to you. And Alexander Mattison, somehow, with yet another touchdown here. But unfortunately for Don, he was once again let down by Brandon Ayuk. JSN had a disappointing performance. Tony Pollard was a lot of people's favorite folks coming into this week, coming up against Carolina. He disappointed with only 6 carries. And no, really, unfortunately for Don, no matter who it would have started, it wouldn't have mattered here. Your final score was 127-97, and unfortunately, the rules of the game. Gentlemen, it's time we say goodbye to Don. 24 season. It's come to an end for him. I'm old enough to remember a little over a year ago, we were saying Dark Horse Don. Look out. Solid roster. And you know what? To Don's credit, I will even say a lot of this isn't even his fault. It's not that he's made bad moves, bad trades, bad draft picks, maybe besides Brock Bowers. But just he's had a lot of disappointment. Brandon Ayuk, not who we thought they were. Chris Olave. Hell, you want to even throw Luke Musgrave in there? You know, he had some hope for a while. JSN. Like, these aren't bad picks. But unfortunately, they just let him down. And he's going into rebuild mode for 25. Any hopeful words to send Don with on his way?
He's got most of his picks. So, like, he's not picked poor or anything. He hasn't gone all in and gotten nothing out of it. So, if there's any words of encouragement, you're going to be drafting early and you still have your picks.
Yeah. Needs a tight end and more RB enforcement. Just needs some dogs in his lineup to really compete.
Jonathan Brooks. We'll see how he looks. There's a little bit of, I'd say, hope on the horizon. Maybe he comes out.
My stamp of approval on that guy this year.
That's right. That's right. He could come out and ball. We might see. So Steven survives 1-2. He moves on as Don unfortunately falls to 0-3. We have one game remaining, and y'all know what that means. Let's get it on.
And in a battle for his literal life, don't. Anthony trying to tread water and get out of the cellar within the Chipotle division. And by golly, was he drowning this week.
Damn.
Chris with absolute waterboarding activities everywhere. Neighbors with 28. Kyron with 31. And then, just for S's and G's, you have Josh Allen with 38 points.
S's and G's.
I mean, rise the guy up from the water, Chris. Jameson Williams only gets 2 points, so you did throw him a bone there. Clear wide receiver two in Detroit. And it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. Bill's offense and Chris's starting lineup, play it until it doesn't work. It continually is getting it done. Even Dalton Kincaid showing up to the party. He says, hey, boys, I got a fifth of Jack right here, baby. Let's go. I'm ready to roll. Ready
and some
to
zins. Dominate.
For Anthony, sad boy hours everywhere. I need to show him that song I showed you, Chris, Wishes.
Oh, my God, yeah.
My Tiny Habits.
Very sad song.
Anthony, you need to put that on in your work commute this week because, my God, Ramondre, you had negative points, son. You were better not even playing a running back in that spot. JJ with a solid output as always. That's Mr. Reliable. He's top three dynasty wide receiver.
He's so good.
Love that. Amari Cooper with a truly random 27. I mean, just so random. That guy, he just shows up sometimes. Last year, I have some spite against him for that 50 plus point performance that knocked me out of the playoffs, but I'm not salty. The rest of his team, total dog poop. Just total dog poop. What is wrong with Travis Kelce?
I mean, he had a great performance this week.
Is he just a guy? Is he just like what happened? Is Father Time showing up?
There's the crowd out there that says he'll play himself into shape, but I'm not too sure.
Oh, man.
You got
35 years old.
You gotta wonder where his focus is. I was just doing some research online a little bit because I was just curious specifically of like what's going on. And somebody brought up the point that was like, you know, he's got $100 million podcast that, you know, he's trying to get signed with, and he's got all this other stuff going on. Maybe he's just too distracted. And I honestly would not be shocked if he walked away from the game after this year.
If they win the Super Bowl again, he's definitely walking away. 100%. I'll put my house on it.
Yeah.
So, wrapping this up, Rashid Shaheed, you trust him 1 week, and then it follows. But not crazy surprising, right? Because of his volatility, that's the way he is. He's like a Mike Williams light in some respects. Big yikes just overall on Anthony's side. Some flags popping up in the air of what's going on with this team. And if you're Chris, man, you are feeling confident. I mean, he is far and away this year the top dog, and everybody's chasing after him at least through 3 weeks. Final score, Chris 161, Anthony 101.
All right. That was your week three review, baby. Before we move on, Anthony falls to 1-2. Your boy goes up to 3-0, top of the Chipotle division. A quick standings update for you. If the season were to end today, your boy would be the one seed on top of the Chipotle division. And Tim over there in the Qdoba division at 2-1 would be the other bye. Then it would go as follows. Believe it or not, the three seed right now would go to Zach and Brees Lightning on points. Four. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. He has the third highest points scored in the league behind Tim and I. Then your four seed would be Aaron with an identity crisis. Your five seed would be Hayden and Into Infinity and Bijan. And rounding out your six seed, it would be Stretch and Walker, a hardly knower, believe it or not, only by 10 points over the Red Rocket down there. So I think it's a little closer than a lot of us were expecting, perhaps heading into week four. So let us know your thoughts on this week, your thoughts on those standings, and who's really around, who you really think will be around come the end of the year. It is a bi-weekly thing, so I'm pretty excited now as we head into the power rankings. Are you ready, Tim?
Let's do it.
Let's ride. Nice. Here we go, here we go, here we go.
Boys, we've got some movement in the power rankings this week.
I like to move it, move it.
Ooh, nice, nice. At number 10, he's not going to hear this because he's on his honeymoon, so it's all good.
That's right.
Jig was in Paris and Don. Hey, we'll see you next year.
Yeah, that's right.
Number nine. We have, boy, wouldn't Malik Nabers look nice on this team right now? Steven and Mount Passmore.
Bottom at, two.
At number eight. Man, I wanted to put him higher. Really wanted to put him higher. We were riding hard last week. Just couldn't do it. Clayton and the Red Rocket. Solid at number eight.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
A stalwart, though, at eight.
And then at seven. Just couldn't quite crack the top six. Brees Lightning.
He's going to have some words
by,
about that.
By can... 1 point in the voting polls, by one, if one of us would have moved him one spot up, he'd have been top six.
I can hear him. I can hear his voice. He's going to have some words.
Those are there, man. Those bottom four teams did not move from the last time we did power rankings 2 weeks ago. But, man, Zach and Clayton are knocking on the door.
I love it. I love it.
Of the top six. We got some contention. Moving into that vaunted top six, we have Team Uninspired Youth down four spots from two to six.
Wow.
Last year's nut champion.
Wow. Is it fair to wonder if the window has closed?
Christian McCaffrey, please come back.
Outside of that, man, I mean, where's the path?
It's so tough.
I mean, Travis Kelce playing into shape. I don't know. Like, I mean, if he comes back in, then you get a, you know, a Christian McCaffrey over, you know, a Chuba Hubbard or something like that. Lamar's going to do his thing. Like, I definitely think there's a path, but I think it's cloudier than ever.
Yeah, man, it's going to be tough sledding there for the guy holding the net. At number five, Mr. Steady Eddie this year, Team Identity Crisis.
Oh, that is Aaron for those at home, because
staying in the same slot, Team Identity Crisis. I mean, did we talk about it yet? Are we going to talk about it?
I mean, we could talk about it now. I mean, literally during the show.
Did we vote him into doing the drop?
I think so. Actually, you know what? Maybe perhaps for the last time, like, is the kitchen closed?
Kitchen closed.
The stoves are shut off.
We're not cooking anymore. I have some very unfortunate bye weeks next week to where I have no startable running backs due to byes. So I needed to drop Russ, and I am no longer let Russ microwave. I'm at Identity Crisis right now is my team name, so we'll work on a new permanent team name for your boy.
Sounds sadder than I thought he would.
I mean, hey.
It's such a fall from grace.
It's tough when you have to move on from your brand like that.
Yeah.
It was such a part of my, just the swag of my team, but that was the past.
I don't think anybody's ever used Russell Wilson and swag in the same sentence ever.
Maybe the Subway executives.
It's spicy.
All right. Sorry. We got knocked off course there.
All right. Yes. Four. You got it. Number five, holding steady.
Okay.
Team Identity Crisis at number four. I had to bump him up so he wouldn't fall too far. We got Walker Hardly Knower down one spot from a tie at third to solo in fourth place.
All right.
And across the board, we have him at 3, 4, and 5. So right there, right in smack in the middle, number four. At number three, you guys are crazy. Tua Infinity and Bijan.
We crazy?
Up two spots from 5 to 3.
All right.
Crazy. Crazy. You know what that leaves?
Da, two da, teams. Da.
Up one from the last power rankings. We have close but no Jamar, leaving Team Fairlife as your three rankings. No, just back to back, two rankings in a row. Number one in the This League power rankings.
Give me that ganja because I'm high as a kite. Just kidding. No, I, yeah, no, I like that. I want to go back to you call us crazy for having Tua for Hayden at three. What's up with that? He's 2-1. He's in the playoffs. Solid squad.
He's 2-1, but you got one of them at number two overall, one at three. I had him down at five. I'm just, you know, the total points four. I think he's fifth in the league. Points against, he's kind of like right smack in the middle of the pack. Like, not top two yet. I don't know how you could do that. Mahomes, quarterback questions, tight end questions, Jalen Waddle question, Tank Dell questions. Bijan Robinson is not that dude. ETN and the Jags look horrible.
What do you mean by that? Bijan's not that dude.
Algier just takes too many touches, man.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying like Bijan like sucks at football.
No,
I was like,
Bijan's that guy that, man, he should have 30 plus touches a game.
Absolutely.
But Algier just every game gets 10 to 15. Like he's a real part of that offense. And until he's gone or something, I don't know. Bijan can't take that step to number one overall. Like that's completely out of the books, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I get that. No,
and I think Derrick Henry's a little fool's gold this past week. I think Dallas's run defense was just awful. So I don't know. I'm not down on it. He's in the playoffs. He's a contender. He's on the verge. But three was just a little rich for my blood.
Yeah, you know I'm still on the Tank Dell renaissance, and I think when Debo gets healthy, if he gets Puka back, you know, he should be okay. Yeah, any shocks there to you, Aaron?
No, I think it was about what I expected. I mean, I think I hear what Tim's saying with some of the points he brought up with Hayden's team, but
I am surprised Hayden over Tim. I am surprised about that. Tim, same record. Second highest point scorer in the league.
Yeah, I honestly, like, if I could have just put, like, a tie, I would have. But I'm just in love with a lot of, like, the name value on Hayden's team. I mean, he's just got guys all over the place, even on the bench.
Yeah.
And to me, like, sure, Bijan's not been as explosive as we think he has, but it's still just early in the season to call shots on guys. And I think even in negative game scripts, ETN's still going to have some value. Like, you know, in a really bad game last week, he still scored 12 and a half points. Like he's had a floor at least this week or this year where he's scored over 10 points every week, which won't like get it done, of course, but yeah.
RB three of last year is in the deep rearview mirror.
Right. Yeah. I don't think that's possible. But
what's his ranking right now? RB what? Do you know?
RB 22.
Oh, God. Oh.
Which, like, sure.
I didn't know it was that bad.
Not great.
And he scored a touchdown in 2 weeks.
Oh. Yikes. All right. Well, I know what you mean now, Tim. I know what you mean. I didn't know it was that bad. All right. Tim, how about you run it through quickly one more time and then we'll go make some money.
Hey, you got it. Don Honeymoonin and Jigba's in Paris, number 10.
Enjoy your season, baby.
9, Mount Passmore. See you next year. 8, the Red Rocket. The Red Rocket, the coal is in the fire. 7, Brees Lightning, arguably like just breathing down Anthony's neck.
He's coming. Them boys coming.
6, Team Uninspired Youth. Fall from Grace, down 4 spots. 5, Let Russ Microwave. 4, Walker, Hardly Nowhere. 3, Tua Infinity and Bijan. 2, Close But No Jamar. And 1, of course, Team Fairlife.
Ooh-wah. You heard the man. Let us know your thoughts as we go on to the This League.
The This League Guarantee.
Hey, are you okay?
We're keeping it. I thought I could get the transition in before I sneezed.
As we move on to the
this league. All right. We're back. We're back. Listen, folks, last week, I think we get a pass for last week. I do. If anything, I think Tim could probably give Aaron and I a pretty hard time if he wanted to. Because how about a first career touchdown for Roma Dunze? He called that last
week. That was awesome.
Plus 360. I think that was the first one to hit as well, which was like absolutely electric. Unfortunately for the rest of the lineup, George Pickens got to, what was it, Aaron? Was it 60 yards? 57 yards.
57. He needed 60.
Didn't quite get there. And then, of course, for Adam Thielen, he left in the first half. I have a defense. He was at 40 yards, but he didn't hit that over 44 and a half, unfortunately. So we got 1 for 3, and we got the hardest one. So shout out to you, Tim. You did the world a favor there. But we will move on to this week, the week 4 guarantee. 3 player props for you guys to parlay that we guarantee is going to hit. Tim, you're hot off of last week. I'll start with you first.
Hey, you know we're going to run it back. Week 1, called it. Aaron Jones with a touchdown on a new team.
Yeah, you're going for 3 for 3 here.
Anytime touchdown, man. We're going for 3 for 3. Aaron Jones at Lambeau. Revenge game, anytime touchdown, plus 130. Locked and loaded. I love Aaron Jones props this week.
I love that. I love that. What's what's the Vikings head coach name?
O'Connell?
Yeah, O'Connell. I feel like he's young enough and cool enough to actually like fuel that narrative. Like they get down there and it's like, Aaron Jones, get in there.
Like Aaron Jones has looked like his old self this year. He's averaging 5.5 yards a carry. He's gotten 6 targets in the last 2 weeks. Like he's getting touches and doing stuff with it. It looks wonderful.
There you go. Aaron Jones, anytime touchdown scorer, your first leg. Aaron, we'll throw it over to you.
Mine's going to be Saquon Barkley over 70 rushing yards.
Lock
that in. My reasoning is short and simple. There is nobody healthy other than him. The end.
I'll take it. Who do they play?
The Bucs.
The Buccaneers. All right. I'll take that. This should be a high-scoring game, but I doubt they go away from Saquon because they might not have a choice. So I'll take it over 70 rushing yards for Saquon. The final leg of the parlay, I am going Mr. George Pickens. He makes a return in the guarantee this week. I have him over 4.5 catches against your Indianapolis Colts. Hello? Here we go.
Colt, go Colts.
And here's the reason why. You don't need glasses to see that the Colts absolutely can't stop anything on the ground or through the air. I would even tease this up to 5.5 catches if I could, because George Pickens is the undisputed number one option in that Steelers wide receiver room. I think he's top 10 in the league for first looks, first reads. That is who Justin Fields is looking for when they're not running the ball 50 times. And here's why, really. With the Colts, when it comes to wide receiver ones, they've played so far. Week 1, Nico Collins, 8 targets, 6 catches. I throw out week 2 because Malik Willis threw the ball like 8 times and Josh Jacobs toted the ball 35 times. But in week 3, DJ Moore, 10 targets, 8 catches. The Colts have the 31st ranked defense when it comes to total yards and 21st against the pass. And if you look at who Pickens has played so far this year, you got the Falcons with a top 10 passing defense, the Broncos with the second best pass defense, and this guy named Pat Surtain, if you've never heard of him, and even the Chargers with a top 10 passing defense. In those games, Pickens still had 5 catches in 2 of those games, ladies and gentlemen. He's finally going up against a defense he can exploit. Justin Fields can exploit. 4.5 catches. I feel like that's the best line of the week. I love it. Pickens over 4.5 catches.
I like that a lot. I'm a big fan of Pickens' talent, and I think he will, as you mentioned before the pod, eat the Colts alive.
I am nervous. I am nervous about that. So one more time for your DraftKings, FanDuels, whatever you want to do. DraftKings, we're in that betting group, baby. Go join it. It's lit. It was especially lit during Don's wedding. That was a lot of fun. But your guarantee this week, George Pickens, over 4.5 catches against the Colts. Tim with Aaron Jones, anytime touchdown scorer against the Packers. And Saquon Barkley, over 70 rushing yards against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That gets you a plus 759. $20 will win you $152. Go put some cash on there. Go put your rent money on there. You can trust us this week.
Guaranteed.
It's guaranteed, baby. Go get you some money. Let's dive in to the week 4 preview. Week 4. I feel like three games in, we have a lot of answers. You know, what do they say? Like, one's an accent, two is a coincidence, three is a trend, right? So I think we can start really kind of dissecting a lot of these matchups a little more. Trying to identify trends and see where these teams' projections are as we come up to the quarter portion of the year. We will start with a clash that is always juicy. It always has some weight to it. And this year, it has some weight to it that perhaps both of these squads are not used to having. I am talking about Aaron and the new owner of Team Identity Crisis coming into this one at 2-1, taking on Anthony, the defending champion, Team Uninspired Youth, at a surprising 1-2.
Man, this is hovering right around a 50-50 ball game.
We love to see
50,
it.
50-50.
We got some dudes in Chipotle trying to chase Team Fairlife. And you know, stake their claim as a playoff team. It's early, but we're thinking it. Aaron, you got a chance to just send the reeling champs to 1-3 on the year.
Man, that would be nuts.
He would be down bad after that point. So Thursday night football, we're recording. Dak got off to a hot start, had 20 points in the first half, hadn't done anything in the second half.
20 points in the second half?
21 points.
Yeah.
I've not been watching, so I don't know what happened in the second half, but
lots of field goals.
Yeah, lots of field goals in this game. That's not good for my DraftKings. And then Saquon's about to get the load this week. I love the rushing props in the parlay. Give me all the touchdown props. Saquon is going to go off. Tampa Bay, I think, is still missing. Line, defensive tackle, Tampa Bay.
Vita Vea.
Yes, Vita Vea has been out for a while. I think he's still going to be slated to miss this week. Just Saquon, get the load, dog. we talked on it earlier a little bit. Diggs matchup with potentially like limited Nico and Dell. That's got huge upside against Jacksonville, a really bad team. Right now we're slating in there. We got Jawan Jennings chasing fire a little bit. Let's see what he might do in that wide receiver spot. And Aaron making changes. Not afraid to make change.
Got to do what you got to do.
Mark Andrews, sit your old ass down. I wrote that in my notes. I looked it up. He's 29. He's younger than Evan Ingram. He's younger than Rich Kittle. But sit your old slow ass down. And then, man, Tyreek Hill, let's tough matchup against Legarius Sneed with Huntley. Going to play quarterback, I think, or Tim Boyle.
Honestly, I don't mind it.
Better.
Yeah.
Better than Tyler.
It's going to be better, I think.
Don't forget, that's Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley to you.
Yeah, but that's a tough matchup. home against Tennessee with some rain on the forecast. So, but also, I mean, Tyreek. So, not really going to spend any more time on that. For Anthony, we talked about Kelsey. Is it over? He's going to need a 20-pointer from him. He's going to need a vintage Kelsey, I think, to keep pace in this game. I like the call on Chuba. He's in there against the Bengals run defense that stinks right now. We're not getting any help back until after this week. So if they want, they can just run all over us. JJ going to get his. You know that. Darnold looks like the GOAT this year, you know?
Because like MVP?
The Vikings are that team right now. And lastly, slated in the flex spot, we have Keenan Allen. Limited in practice the last 2 days. Looks like he's going to try to return from the heel injury. I think we talked about last week, the heel injury is what took him out at the end of last year. So mm-hmm. If you can't see my head, this is a podcast, but I'm just like bobbing back and forth. Like,
yeah, we'll see.
The only lineup questions I got over here for Anthony, I know you want to bench Rashad White. I know you do. But Bucky Irving's picked up a hammy injury. Mm. And if he doesn't play, you got to find a way to put Rashad White in there.
Well, over Keenan Allen, right?
I mean, for the pass catching upside, I know Philly's D looked a little bit better last week, but that's my biggest lineup question over there. No lineup questions on Aaron's side. I think he's rolling with the guys he wants to roll with. No further comment. I am gonna take Aaron in this one. I'm gonna say that Anthony falls to 1-3.
I'm gonna take. I think, believe it or not, I actually do think the Bucky Irving thing might swing this. I'm gonna take Anthony.
That he was gonna play, but like to go from limited to did not practice is never bodes well for playing the same week.
I'm actually gonna take Anthony here. I just have a hard time seeing him falling to 1-3. I think Amari Cooper might be back up, you know, back up and rolling. Justin Jefferson. I know Stevenson, the Niners have the 9th ranked rushing defense right now in the league, but you got to go up from negative points, surely. Certainly the Jacoby Brissett's of the world are not going to throw all over the Niners defense. And then Chuba Hubbard, man. I mean, you mentioned it with the Bengals defense. I would not be surprised to see a repeat 20-plus point performance here. He was the obvious bell cow last week, 58% of snaps, 21 attempts on the ground. I think he could be a potential shocking, especially maybe until Jonathan Brooks gets back. He could really be, you know, somebody to plug into that hole while you wait for Christian McCaffrey. So I'm going to roll with Anthony here. And I think, you know, it might come down to Sunday night, where you have Lamar Jackson and Zay Flowers up against that Bills defense. I think that could be high scoring. That will be really fun to watch. I'm rolling Anthony.
I'm going to take myself. I like the matchups. I like what I'm putting out there, and I'm going to keep rolling with that Juwan Jennings juju, man. Hopefully he can have another 20-plus point game and help out with some of the potentially low point totals that I'll get from the likes of Tyreek Hill, among others. So I like it, man. I like my chances. I think JK bounces back as well. I see myself winning this one.
The Juwan Jennings versus Chuba Hubbard experience we all wanted. We all wanted from these two elite sides.
It's wide receiver 4, Juwan Jennings, to you.
That's so crazy. Wide receiver 4. That's nuts. All right. Well, let's you got 2 for Aaron, 1 for Anthony there. Very, very intense matchup. Anthony falling to 1-3. The Anthony haters, captained by Tim, might be celebrating if that's the case. We will move on to the next matchup. It is a clash in the Chipotle division. It is Clayton coming into this one at 1-2 in the Red Rocket. Take it on your boy, Team Fairlife, the last remaining undefeated team at 3-0.
And in this one, you have Chris with a 56% chance of victory. But as we have said this year, don't count Clayton out. He's going to float around, make some noise. Although I will say the injury bug hitting Clayton a little bit this week. I mean, I'm seeing some questionable tags up and down the lineup. You got Trey McBride dealing with the concussion. Nico Collins banged up. Jaden Reed questionable. There's some eyeballs there at those key spots that Clayton's going to need all three of those guys healthy if he's even going to get a chance. chance.
And for the people out there, those are serious ones. Nico Collins added to the injury report today with a hamstring. You don't like seeing people added to the injury report midweek. Trey McBride, typically with a concussion, if you're not practicing by Thursday, you're probably out. So that might risk our beautiful double-decker tight end stacker. And then to your point, Jaden Reed, he was limited, but he also might have Malik Willis again. We'll see. So, yeah, real concerns there.
For sure. And then in the same breath, Joe Burrow looked amazing against Washington. Has to have another big game for Clayton to stay relevant in this spot against Chris. RB2, once again, looking very shaky, to say the least. We're rolling Ty Chandler out again. I don't know if that's going to pay dividends. It certainly didn't last week. Needs likely a huge game from Devin Singletary. We shall see, though. We shall see. It's going to be interesting to see if Singletary, by the end of this game tonight, what his point total is, and I haven't actually looked at it. Not great. So, we're not off to a great start there. 4.8 points for Devin Singletary. He's going to need to pick up the slack other places. For Chris, I'm going to keep this short and simple. I mean, there is just star power throughout his lineup. It is insane, the amount of talent. I mean, goodness gracious, even tonight, Malik Nabers, 23 points, 15 targets.
I will say, on that note, he just made a ridiculous sideline catch, but it looks like he got knocked the fuck out. Excuse my French. He, I think it was a concussion. He literally wasn't moving on the ground, and I was scared, but he's up.
I didn't see what happened, but he's saw him down.
He wasn't moving, which was really scary.
Was it in bounds? Did he like get it in bounds?
I think he got the toes down.
I don't think he held on to the ball.
Oh, that's true. Ridiculous catch, though.
But yeah, I mean, it looked like a catch to me.
I saw my life flash before my eyes there for a second.
I didn't see a hit.
I think he'll be okay.
He's up and moving, so I think he'll be all right. Probably out the rest of this game, though.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe a concussion. But anyway, Malik did his job. Star power throughout your lineup, Chris. Buffalo Bills offense getting deployed yet again. Continue to roll that out. Enough said. Not much else to say here. I mean, we know the usual suspects that are going to probably put up very good point totals. I see you clearing 140 again. Just fine. Chris wins this one.
Yeah, I'm taking Chris in this one. Like you said, injury bug. I just don't know that there's enough to overcome there.
I'm taking me as well. I do love me a good double-decker tight end stacker, but we might not get that this week. I might get robbed of that. I might get robbed of playing the double tight end stacker, which is a tragedy. But yeah, I'm taking me as well. Definitely respect Clayton's team, but I think I have enough to move forward here. So that is a clean sweep for your boy. We expect us to move to 4-0. We'll see if that is the case. Like we said, Clayton has left pushover territory, so I'm sure he might make me sweat here. In this matchup, we'll move on to the next matchup. It is Tim and close but no Jamar taking on honeymoon bound Mr. Happy, Don, and Njigba's in Paris. Oh, and that's me. Don, does Don have a chance at redemption here? Obviously, we already sent him off in the review on that winner go home game. He's going to be chilling in honeymoon land. And that doesn't mean he can't set his lineup. His lineup is set, so that's a big set for Don. As it currently stands, Tim with a 68% chance of victory. CeeDee Lamb doing his thing on Thursday Night Football. Already with a touchdown, 7 catches, 98 yards. So that's a good bounce back week for him coming off of last week. And you guys know that I'm a fan of trying to hype up underdogs. I like trying to pull storylines out and throw them and, you know, maybe give you things to watch out for. But I mean, even the matchups are against Don this week. I mean, Alexander Mattison against the Browns, Tony Pollard against a Dolphins run defense, which, fun fact, is actually top 10 in football. We know how good that secondary is in Atlanta when it comes to Chris Olave going up to that. You got Brandon Ayuk against the Patriots, Xavier Worthy against the Chargers, who just run it 80,000 times. That is like literally the worst kind of script you could have for Xavier Worthy is playing against Jim Harbaugh. Like, I feel like that's so bad for him. And then versus, I mean, Tim, it's almost flipped, right? You got Jordan Mason in that Patriots game, which if you're going to be running it a bunch, he's your guy. Najee Harris, if there is any week that Najee can break 15 points, I think it's this one against the Indianapolis Colts. I would not be surprised to see Najee with two touchdowns this week. Prime time gets to go up against Philly. And of course, we know the Aaron Jones revenge narrative in Green Bay, and Ja'Marr Chase taking on a still susceptible Carolina Panthers. And Andy Dalton might be the best thing for them, which means they might need to score more than one touchdown, which should be music to Ja'Marr Chase's ears. Don obviously will be needing a Herculean effort here, but A.J. Brown probably out for Tim. When it comes to lineup decisions, you know, Tim could have a couple. Roma Dunze, do we go fun? Do we go Roma Dunze perhaps? Zach Moss, believe it or not, that is running back 20. Zach Moss coming off a 20-point game from last week. Do we deploy Zach Ertz over Sam Laporta? Who, that's right, Sam Laporta, currently the tight end 18. Zach Ertz, currently the tight end 9. Do we do that? I don't know. Let's have some fun. Let's throw it out there. There's a lot of options there. Unfortunately for Don, his lineup kind of sets itself. You could start McLaurin for the vibes. He's fun to watch with Jaden Daniels. That could be something maybe over an Xavier Worthy you could look at. So similar to the last game, I don't really see any pathway for Don barring a Tim absolute collapse or injury-fested week. And we don't hope that on anybody. So I'm taking Tim here.
Yeah, I also have Tim. Woo!
Yeah, like me. Like my matchups this week.
All right, short and sweet there. Clean sweep for Tim. Expect him to move to 3-1 and stay on the top of that Qdoba division. We will move on to the next round. It is Steven in Mount Passmore, barely holding on by a thread, keeping his season alive, coming into this one at 1-2, taking on a team which apparently splits opinion of this podcast crew here. It's Hayden and Tua Infinity and Bijan trying to keep up with the horses in the Chipotle division.
It may be week 4, but spoiler season is in full effect for Steven.
I love it. I love it. Trap game? Trying to play
spoiler. You got Hayden 2-1 looking to go 3-1, sees the matchup against a middling team and thinks he's got an easy chance. Currently 58% chance of victory on Sleeper. Jake Ferguson, we're almost done with this ball game. He's got a nice solid 11 points in the tight end spot, which is elite this year for tight ends. Sorry to be that. And man, since I made my notes, we've had a switch. Steven had Derek Carr in the lineup, and I think he still may have to roll Derek Carr.
Stafford
against the Bears, tough Bears defense. Herbert with a questionable ankle where. Why did he even play last week? I think he should sit out and get healthy. But even at that, like, he's no fantasy elite option anymore. Like the trio, Higgins, DK, Khalil Shakir, if only he had a young, elite, high explosive top 2 draft pick receiver to go up there. Anyway, Aaron, Jordan Addison might be back. Thoughts?
He can just get on out of town. I really would rather him just not be in the NFL.
I had to see what was going to happen there. I had to see.
Go ahead and go get another DUI. You know you have one in you.
I got another one in me.
Yeah, but, the league in no time. Throw a party when he's out of the league. That'd be great.
Gosh.
But yeah, Hayden, you know, we've done the names for Hayden. I think he's going to take this one easily. His dudes are just going to get it done. And I said my piece about, you know, not being as high on him. I think he's a good team. He's still a great team, but just not as high. But I do think he's going to win this one pretty easily.
Do I do it? I could, maybe. Aaron, you go.
How are you going to talk yourself into that?
There's just no way to talk yourself into it.
I mean, okay. Yeah, hear me out. Khalil Shakir, we know that Bills-Ravens game, number one target for Josh Allen in the wide receiver core right now anyway. You know, maybe. Jordan Addison is better than, you know, who else he's been rolling out over the previous weeks, you know, the Christian Kirks of the world. So that's an upgrade for me. George Kittle, if he plays, we can agree, top five tight end in the league right now. DK Metcalf, currently the wide receiver 7, going up against susceptible Detroit game. That's going to be high scoring. T. Higgins, second game back. I know there's certain podcasts out there that we may or may not know, making him the start of the week. That's really fun. Carson Steele against the Chargers. Talk about having 20 carries because you're playing the Chargers. And then Jonathan Taylor is elite. So I could do it. I could make an argument. And we know that, you know, Hayden's team, while fancy names, has been underperforming. I mean, you got Romeo Doubs in your freaking lineup right now. Like, so oops. I just did it. I'm taking Steven. As I cross my arms and pout.
Wow. I am going to definitely take Hayden here.
Wussy. Coward.
Not going to be fooled by your reasonings
coward
for why Steven should win. There's no possible way. I just think that, yeah, like Tim's got in the notes here and maybe he doesn't. Or yes, he does. Yeah, just the name values. Just the names, he just has them all. And I just think that's going to be too much for Steven to overcome.
The more I look at it, the more I like my pick. Steven, baby. I'm rolling Steven. So we will move on to the next matchup. That is 1 for Steven and 2 for Hayden, as I was one of the guys that just defended Hayden's team, and now I'm picking one of the worst teams in the league to beat them. So how about that for consistency? All right, we will move on to your final matchup to preview. You know what that means. It is our game to watch, baby. This one is maybe not as obvious as other game to watches have been, but I really like the storyline for where this could do to the Qdoba division. Aaron, take it away.
And in this game of the week, we have Stretch and Walker, I hardly know her, playing Zach Welch and Breece Lightning. And fellas, this game is already off to a very interesting start, I might add. Wandale Robinson in the flex for Zach this week.
Wow.
And he's got 11 catches for 71 yards on 14 targets.
Hey, only one target happened
underneath Malik Nabers' 15 targets the last time I checked, which is surprising, albeit 100%. You'll take that all day long if you're Zach. He's been struggling to get some flex production, and Wandale certainly delivered tonight. On the other side, the Dallas Cowboys defense is not looking as good as it might have previously. 3 points, not going to get it done. So this one's turning into an interesting game here to watch. The tides have really turned towards Zach in his favor. And you look up and down the lineup here. I mean, you got C.J. Stroud against a struggling Jacksonville defense. You got Breece Hall going to be doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically a receiver in a running back's body, it seems like. Brian Robinson going to be alone with Eckler out with the concussion this week. Rashee Rice and Deontay Johnson as well against Cincinnati. I mean, Zach's got some really good matchups here this week. And then if we turn our focus over to Stretch, Stretch also has some good matchups to his credit. I mean,
not as good as Zach's.
Not as good as Zach's, absolutely. But Kyler Murray against Washington, I mean, Kyler Murray could be the overall quarterback 1 against Washington. You saw what Joe Burrow did last week against him. I mean, good luck to the Commanders. And then James Conner's going to only benefit from that as well in that RB slot. And then when you turn your attention to the tight end 1 in all of fantasy, Dallas Goedert, I mean, that guy, you know, as long as he gets only 10 points, he's going to be just fine. I think Mike Evans bounces back. So I think this one is going to be a bit closer than what this line is portraying. I initially, fellas, had Stretch as the guy who was going to win this, but going through the matchup and going through the players a little more in depth, I'm going to switch. I like Zach to win, and I think he's going to win decisively this week.
I want the record to show that I had Zach before we knew Wandell was going to put up 18 points. I think Zach's matchups are just way too good. Way too good. Breece Hall is going to eat the Broncos alive, and Brian Robinson is going to have 3 touchdowns against the Cardinals, especially with Austin Eckler out. Like, I love Zach's matchups this week.
Yep, I'm all about Zach on this one. I think Andy Dalton getting Deontay Johnson to become a wide receiver 1-2 borderline is huge. And then the matchups are just too good to not pick him this week.
Yeah. And there you have it. That is a clean sweep for Zach. Wow.
Zach, say your prayer. Don't look over your shoulder. She's going to have to do some weird stuff to try to pull this one out.
The stretch voodoo. I tell you what, we could be entering a week 5 that has Stretch at 1-3, Anthony at 1-3, Zach at 3-1. Like, Where are we? We're in the upside down. Oh, man. Let us know about your thoughts as we dive in to a week 4 that may be lacking, you know, those marquee matchups, but certainly storylines abound going into this week. Let's get out of here.
Broncos country, let's ride.
This league underscore pod on Twitter and Instagram is where you can reach out to us with your thoughts and your comments. If you're on the Spotify's or the Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this beautiful podcast, go ahead and leave us a 5-star rating or 4-star. But if you leave us anything under than a 5-star rating, you have to tell us why. We're not against criticism, constructive criticism. We're here for it. If you want to, obviously leave us a comment, share us with your friends, or just mash the like button like Malik Nabers is mashing his freaking rookie year. We love that. We love you, Malik. Just mash it. Mash the like button.
Yeah, like he mashes his head into the sideline on that catch.
Okay. Wow. Okay. All right.
Or just gently click.
Or you could just gently click. I forgot to mention, I can't confirm these reports coming out of the Team Fairlife front office. As of right now, I can only tell you so many things, but there has been conversations between Michael Pittman and Malik Nabers about the future of the brand of Team Fairlife. I will just say that. There's been conversations. You know, Michael Pittman initially came in consistently great for the team, a leader in the locker room, and Malik Nabers comes in here and just starts dominating from day one, really mature for his age. You know, Michael Pittman obviously will never abandon the leadership role, but Malik Nabers, he's making it tough for the brand, man. He's making it tough. I just wanted to...
Wily old vet action versus young new hotness.
That's right. He's getting along in the locker room. Everybody's good. So we will see. Anything to add before we sign off, gentlemen?
Nada.
Nope.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. As always, we love you guys with all of our hearts. I'm Chris. Love you guys.
Peace.
Don't eat.